Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. The encouragement of the epistle reading is refreshing, isn't it? I long to see you, Paul says, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. And then he says, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, by yours and mine. It's a picture of the church and what the church does. We build each other up. We're told that both the sent one, the apostle, and the congregation of Christians to whom he longs to be with are mutually encouraged by each other's faith, strengthened by one another. Paul continues, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1, 15 through 17. Paul wants both him and the congregation to whom he's writing to be encouraged by each other's faith, strengthened by it. And this is done through the sharing of God's word. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ crucified, dead on a stick, laid in a tomb and resurrected, defeating death and the devil. For it's the power of God, that good news, for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God. The word of God which declares believers forgiven of their sins is powerful. So powerful. It's God's power. That powerful. It's the power of God. Yahweh works through the preaching of his word, the proclamation of the truth that there's a law, God's law, and we've broken it. And that we have a substitute, someone who's willing to take our place and pay the price, our punishment, willingly to be our substitute so that we don't have to endure the penalty of death that's coming to us, but would be restored to life, to the rightful place with God eternally, perfect and upstanding in the eyes of our Lord. Paul isn't afraid to preach Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sin, something that is called a stumbling block, a scandal. He isn't afraid to tell Romans living in Rome, that the power of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Rome is where they fed Christians to the lions, right? That kind of a thing. He's not afraid to proclaim Christ to that kind of hostile situation. To say that the spreading of the news, that God's word incarnate in the flesh, whom the Roman governor Pontius Pilate crucified, God's word revealed the righteousness of God from faith for faith. That it's by this faith, given through and sustained by the word, that we live. In summary, he's saying, the word of the Lord is enough. That's the point for today. That's what I want you to take home. When someone says, well, what was the sermon about? If you can't remember anything else, remember, the word of the Lord is enough. Grab on to that. That's the title. The word of the Lord is enough. And like Paul, our aim is to not be ashamed of it, but to live by faith from faith, to be filled with the gospel truth, and thereby to find encouragement so that we can encourage and strengthen others in the faith. to build each other up and to speak the word into the ears of those who haven't heard it a little, and have heard it their whole life. All of us need to be strengthened to spread the gospel throughout the world, even into places of great hostility. This is what we pick up on in our 2 Kings reading. Naaman was angry that the prophet Elijah told him to do something so simple, to be cured of his leprosy. He found it to be ridiculous, and it angered him, enraged him, because it was void of the grandeur. This big journey, he packed 10 days worth of clothes, right? And he gets to the guy and he says, oh yeah, just go do this. That's it? Really? I thought that he would surely come to me and stand and call upon the name of Yahweh his God. He would make a spectacle like all the other pagan religions do. And he would wave his hand over the place, and he would cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, back in my home country, are they not better than all the waters of Israel? Come on, give me a break. You want me to wash in your little river? Call it good? For those of you in our Revelation study, you might notice how many times Elijah told him to wash in the river. 7. And what does 7 mean? It means complete and holy. He would be completely clean and he would be holy, right? Clean. Without blemish. Could I not wash in my own rivers and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, it is a great word. The prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said, wash and be clean? That's a bold thing to say. The word in its simplicity attached to undesirable water. Nothing fancy, just regular old water was all it took. Belief in what is said to be faith from faith. This is the picture of baptism. Do you see it? The word of the Lord is enough. Even spoken by his servants, his prophets, his apostles, his pastors, his people, it is enough. It's enough to heal. And not just these temporary bodies of ours. That's nothing. It's enough to heal you eternally. To clean you in baptism so well that you'll never die. You'll live forever. You'll be holy, unblemished forever. In bodies that are imperishable, with spirits unstained by sin. The word of the Lord is enough. It's spoken, and that's enough. Just like the Roman centurion said to Jesus, I am not worthy to have you under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. This is the strength that I long to see all of you possess. The strong faith of the centurion, the strength of faith that recognizes that the word of the Lord is enough, that says, no, no, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy to have you in my house, under my roof. Just speak your word and make it all better. So we get bogged down in so many ways, thinking there needs to be something more. That if Jesus would only come and walk with us like he did with the apostles, well, then we could do all things. Then this whole thing would be so much easier. That God needs to do something a little extra for us to motivate us, to prompt us, to help us. Maybe a physical healing when we're in the hospital. An emotional feeling when we gather in his name in the divine service. Or some sort of sign to give us confidence to speak the gospel to our friends and family. Our classmates, classmates, co-workers, and acquaintances. But that desire for something more than the word of God, is a lie of the devil. It's a lie of your own sinful self. It's your way of deceiving yourself. You need nothing extra. Nothing but the word of the Lord. That is enough. It is the very power of God, and it does bear fruit. It doesn't matter the obstacle. The word of the Lord is enough. Speak it into the situation. When someone's hurting and frustrated from the ailments of a failing mind or body, don't be ashamed of the gospel, but use it to encourage them, to strengthen them in their hour of need. You too will be encouraged and strengthened by that same situation. Not feeling the emotional high in worship, speak God's word. Read it. Listen to it. Pray it. That's all that's needed. Your heart is a fickle bit of flesh. It doesn't need to swell with emotions to be swimming with Scripture. Fill it up. Listen. Hear the word of the Lord. It is enough. Are you afraid to speak the gospel in social settings? To tell people about Jesus? To speak truth to a situation misguided by lies, false understanding, and wrong thinking? Afraid your family, friends, loved ones, or anyone else might be turned off by your faith, by Christ? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Speak up. It doesn't matter if it would cause your own dearest mother to badmouth you. Speak the gospel. Let the insults fly. Let the relationships erode away. It doesn't matter. None of it matters apart from the Lord, apart from His word. It is enough. Anything else, it's just the trappings on the outside. The word of the Lord is enough to sustain you. It's all you need to live. It's all you could ever ask for. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. And what you will find, dear saints, what you will discover is that God will not only give you His word, but He'll attach to it even more than you could ever ask for. Just as He filled the waters of the Jordan with His cleaning word for Naaman, He connected His healing word to the waters of your baptism. Just as He filled the centurion's heart and house with His healing word for His servant, He fills His supper's bread and wine with the word incarnate, that you would be certain that the word of the Lord is enough and be healed. It is enough. He has put His word into your heart to produce faith, that you shall live by that faith, trusting that the word of the Lord is enough. He has put into your mouth His word that nourishes that faith and then enables you to speak it with courage, come what may. The word of the Lord is enough. It's enough to save you from your sins as it hung upon the cross, it being the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. It's enough to rescue you from the grave as it was buried in the ground of Christ's tomb and sprouted to life when our Lord was resurrected for you, so that you would live with Him now in faith and indefinitely. Come the day of resurrection. The word of the Lord is enough. So now let it be done for you as you have believed. Know you are forgiven No, you are healed. You will live forever with the Lord. It is so. And so we say, Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.